Well, good morning, Neely's Creek. Thank you for tuning in once again to our Sunday school time together. We're continuing to use the quarterly curriculum. And this quarterly curriculum this week has placed us continuing in the book of Hebrews. As you'll notice from your quarterly, there have been some points in which the quarterly is hitting the highlights of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is a very detailed and even sometimes difficult book, not only in just its content, but even in its grammar and the way that it was written, and keeping in mind who it was written to. And so our quarterly is laid out that we should be in Hebrews chapter 11 this week, beginning there in 11 and then continuing on through the beginning of chapter 12. And so I'd like to give you some guiding thoughts as you work your way through this text. As I do, and before I do, let's pray and let's ask our Father to be with us by His Holy Spirit, that He may bring to our minds, that He may cause us just to worship, that we may see His Son high and lifted up and in His glory shown before us. Lord, as we are being changed to look even like Him, and keeping those things in mind as we study these words in this book. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the time that we have together today to dig into Your Word, to, Lord, come to this Word knowing that You are the Word, that You have made us, that You hold all things together, and that You, being the Word that has made us and that holds us together, Lord, You have sought us and You have bought us with Your own blood. You have been the great high priest who has entered into the most holy place and has made propitiation, has sacrificed Your own self for us once and for all. For You came not without blood, but You took on upon Yourself the form of a servant, setting aside Your glories, suffering the shame. Lord, for the joy set before You, You endured the shame that we could be made whole and righteousness and sons and daughters, joint heirs with You. Lord, help us to understand these things. Help us to be, Lord, by Your Spirit, changed through them, through His sanctifying work. Lord, I pray that You would be with me as I teach these things, that Your Holy Spirit would allow me to teach these people exactly what they would need to be focusing on in this text. In Jesus' name, amen. So beginning in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, the text says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of the things that are visible." So we see the author of the book of Hebrews beginning with this idea of faith. Now, he is not beginning with the idea of faith just being pulled as something completely new. If you were to go back and look at chapter 10, beginning around verse 19, he's talking about the full assurance of faith. And if you look at the last couple verses of the chapter, beginning of verse 35, he says, "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which is a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. That is us. We will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but those who have faith and preserve our souls. So he's in a section talking about faith. In Hebrews 11, it's the chapter which is the epitome of dealing with faith in the New Testament, because it not only defines faith, it gives a definition of faith right here out of the gate. It also gives, as chapter 12, we'll call it, this great cloud of witnesses who have lived by faith. And those stories, those bits of these lives are laid out by the Spirit of the Lord that we may be encouraged, that we may take heart, that we will not shrink back, that we will be valiant, that we will live by faith, not only in our minds, but also in our lives, that they may exhibit the faith that has been exhibited by those who have gone before and who have gained the prize, that have succeeded, that have ended their race well, because they lived by faith, not the faith that looks to the things which are seen, but the faith that looks even to the things which are unseen, those being the things of God and God Himself, first and foremost. So, not wanting to give away any more, let's dig in a little further. So he defines faith in verse 1, and there is so much that we could think about when we have this definition of faith laid out for us, because there has been so much written and so much thought that has gone into these first few verses. So I implore you that this is just the beginning of your study of this text. Verse 1 again, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So many have looked at this word faith and the definition of faith, and they have said, what do we need to focus on in this definition? Is it we need to focus on faith as the assurance of things hoped for? Faith is a conviction of things not seen. And I think, and I am in good company with many, that faith is the assurance. It is a bold confidence, is another way of putting it. Faith is a bold confidence in those things which are not seen. It is a bold confidence in those things in which we hope for. And we hope for those things, obviously, and first and foremost, those things which we hope for are not of ourselves. And so, if the things that we hope for are not of ourselves, then the object of our faith is not in ourselves or in our own works. It has been said that our faith, this type of faith, is a justifying faith. It is a faith that is resting securely and firmly on the Lord Himself. It is a faith that looks to God, even to God that we cannot see. It hopes for things that we have not seen yet. It hopes for the things which are glorious, that are unbeheld by our own eyes at this point. But we know, because we have faith in the promises of God, because we have faith in God Himself, that we will partake in those glories, that we will partake in those things that we have not seen yet, because they are made ours in our Lord Jesus Christ. So even in these times, when things are difficult, when we see trouble all around us, and the things that are visible are painful, are troubling, whether they are unrest, whether they are arguing, whether they are just an unloving, a lack of care for one another, or even our health, even a virus. Lord, just help us to continue in this faith that we may look to you, that we may see you, and that we may have faith that looks to you, and that we may have this assurance and this confidence that is not broken. Because is it a faith? It is a faith that is grounded on you. So it says, by faith we understand that the universe was made. We were not there. We think of the book of Job, and we think of the Lord's telling Job, where were you when I formed the mountains? Where were you when I set the limits upon the seas, that they should not go any further than what I say? Where were you, Lord, Job, when I taught the lion to roar? Where were you when I put Leviathan and behemoths upon the earth, and all of those just unimaginable things that the Lord would has set the foundations of the earth himself. He has laid them. He has laid them with his own power and might and wisdom. By faith we know those things. So the author of Hebrews moves very quickly in verse 4 by giving example of those who lived in this kind of unshakable assurance, this confidence, this boldness, and the hope that is found in our God. Verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through faith, though he died, he still speaks. Okay, so let's talk about Abel for a second. So when we talk about Abel, is it just that Abel gave of his flock of animals and Cain gave of his first fruits? Was it the nature of the sacrifice that made one acceptable and one unacceptable? No, it wasn't the nature of the sacrifice, because we give of what we have been given by the Lord. It's like the widow's mite. It's like the widow who only had that one shekel or coin to be given, but she gave of everything she had. She gave the best of everything she has. So it doesn't matter if you're rich or you're poor. God does not need the substance of what you give for his sustenance. What he desires, that you give from a heart of giving him the best of what you have. A heart that seeks to give everything that you have. A heart that shows that everything that you have is dependent on him. And that dependence is working out by your giving. And so Abel, if you look into the grammar here, Abel gave of the best of what he had, while Cain just gave of what was at hand. And there is, by his life, and the Bible says that even he still speaks in this sacrifice, he instructs us that by faith we live, even in the way that we give the best, the choicest of what we have, and really downright to it, our own lives must be his. Now moving on, he says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. And he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. So the author of the book of Hebrews here gives us the example of living by faith with Enoch. Now, Enoch is a mysterious character found in the book of Genesis. And it says that he walked with God and then he was not. God took him to heaven to be with him. He did not taste physical death upon this earth. God is able to even translate us into his presence. By faith, Enoch looked to God, and God did this. Without trying to explain or even trying to diminish, or even by trying to explain it, diminishing the mystery and the grandness and the grandeur of God's just amazing power and work and grace toward Enoch because of his faith. Because of his faith in his God, we see that the spotlight moves away from Enoch, which is exactly what it needs to do, and it puts the spotlight on our God and how he has been gracious and how he even translated one whose heart was faithful and turned to his God and walked with his Lord. It uses the same language there of Adam and Eve when they walked with garden and they walked with God in the cool of the garden. Now moving on, it says Noah, being warned by God concerning the events yet not unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became the heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. So God comes to Noah, build this ark in the middle of dry ground. Build this ark when the first drop of rain has not yet fallen. But I tell you, says the Lord, the rains will come and I will wash from this earth the iniquity, the wickedness that has been heaped upon it by man's sinful desires, by men's wickedness. It says they thought about themselves continually and only their ways were what they did. And it says that by faith, he gained that righteousness that comes by faith. I have mentioned already, we are justified. We are made right with God by faith, not by works, lest any man should boast, adding in what the Apostle Paul tells us. Unfortunately, having to move on, we could spend so much time in each one of these. But moving to Abraham by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to that place where he was to receive an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God, that being the heavenly city. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age. Since she conceived him faithful who hath promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants, as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of the sand by the seashores. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles upon the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are speaking, that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who has received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. Let's stop there for just a second. And let me just mention that these who live by faith, he's talking about Abraham. He's talking about how Abraham was promised that that God would give a land for his descendants, a land that his descendants would own, that would be home. And he believed God in that those promises would be fulfilled. Yet he walked upon the land, but the land was not yet possessed by Abraham. And he compares that to God's people who live as pilgrims in this land. For we look for a land that is promised to us. It will be God's land. It will be a land in which we will dwell in His very presence. It will be a land which the glory of God is present. And so this world is not our home. We are but pilgrims passing through it, looking to those things which are unseen. Those things where God is on His throne and our Lord Jesus Christ is at the right hand. He will dwell in the midst of His people. That is the land in which we hope for. By faith, we see it. And it is coming. For it is coming not because of our own merit, but by faith we know that the merits of Christ and His life has become ours, that we may be united to Him as His brothers and sons of God. Going back into verse 18, still talking about Abraham, of whom it was said, though Isaac shall be your offspring, it be named, he considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. By faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the Exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones. We look at Joseph's life, and even after everything that had happened to him, he had not seen the promised land that had been promised to his fathers, the patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but he still knew that God would take them into that promised land. But that time was 400 years away because Israel was going to grow and was going to become numerous in the land of Egypt where Joseph was serving the Lord. But Joseph, by faith, said, I will be but bones when this happens, but take my bones to the promised land. By faith, he trusted the Lord. He even trusted the Lord to undertake for him, even long after his death. Do we trust him like that? Do we trust him in the midst of our trials? Do we trust him in the midst of our temptations? Do we trust him in the midst of hard times? That he will care for us, that those things which are unseen will be made manifest by God himself. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He continued the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking unto the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. By faith the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Japheth, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead, resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release, so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Therefore, chapter 12, verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. That's what I was saying. Let us run with endurance that is set before us, looking to Jesus, single-minded looking to Jesus, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand at the throne of God. Jesus himself, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him. What was the joy set before our Lord Jesus Christ? But none other than the glory of God the Father, that he may be with his people. That was a joy to him. It was a joy that he would even endure the cross and despise the shame of it, that he may gain the glory of God in the presence of his Father, at his Father's right hand, with his people, that he had been given, that he redeemed, that he lost none in his presence, seeing that inheritance that we will have as his sons and daughters. Because of him, we will see those things which are now unseen, but that will be seen in the fullness and the glory. For those that have gone before us have seen in a glass darkly, but we will see in pure light and in clarity the Lamb of God, and we will dwell with him. We will sit at his banquet table. We have been brought. The great shepherd has become the door for the sheep, and he has brought us in, each and every one of us. He has elected to save us to the fullest. He has elected that his life should be ours, and that his despising the death, despising the shame, and rising in triumphant victory, has secured our place with Him. As we finish, I would like to read to you a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm just going to read it to you. Listen carefully. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, I believe, and so I spoke. We also believe, and so also speak, knowing that He who raised the Lord Jesus Christ will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into His presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. For though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Again, for your own reading, that was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through verses 18. May God add His own blessing to the reading of His Word. And, O Lord God, I pray that You would be with us, that our faith would be confident in the hope of those things which are unseen. Our faith may be confident in You alone. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.